and and I have something from Satchinandan Maharaj. He shared a lot of items with me. He always does japa retreats in Vrindavan and all over. He travels and so he sent me material which I was not even able to look at or use. But there's one thing that he wanted me to share with you that I will do towards the end. And any more questions, or maybe we could chant one round, and any questions, have any? Yeah, and then we'll take those, and we stop by at 5 o'clock. Yeah, is that? Did we round? Okay, so where did we stop? The attachment stopped us. Stress and strain. Yeah, that in itself becomes one's seminar. Devotees in India, they have developed they call corporate preaching. And they get big corporations or board of directors coming to their presentations, or devotees go to their big offices, business places, hotels, and make a presentation. Topic is stress. And chanting stress and Maha Mantra. Mantra meditation. Stress, I don't know how technically they say it, but... Stress management. Well, well, that part, and then mantra meditation. How mantra meditation helps you to minimize the stressful management. How to take stress out, or there was another this interesting topic called pain management, PAIN, pain. How to manage the pain. How to minimize the pain, I think that's the idea. Pain management. So, chanting Hare Krishna, how to make your life free from stress and strain. Or the question I think had come up, that the gentleman is not here. Huh? Yeah? That after days stressful, whatever job, then chanting is not easy. So how to deal with that? I mean, it is. To simplify, we could say that the stressful living, managing or working is not favorable for chanting, then make sure there's no stress, make sure there's no strain. It's the kind of lifestyle that people lead these days. Okay, what about this? Maybe I could just say that. I advise to the temple devotees, and outsiders also, if they could divide their 24 hours into three parts, you take care of yourself, your real self is what? Soul is the real self. So you take care of yourself, your soul, invest some 8 hours taking care of the soul. Then take care of your bodies. Again, spend about 8 hours taking care of your body, which includes about six hours of sleep, then bathing, eating, washing, laundry, 8 hours. And then 8 hours you could do other things. Of course, if you're an ISKCON full-time devotee, you would preach or manage temple and those services for 8 hours. Or 8 hours for others. If you're Krishna conscious, full-time devotee, then you're preaching and that way serving others. If you have business or government servant, you're serving the government. That way maybe you're serving the public or something. So eight hours for soul, 8 hours for your body, 8 hours for service. I think some dividing your time like this may create the balance and minimize the stress. People, because they do not take care of their souls, and mind is also taken care of, in fact, when the soul is, especially when they're chanting of Hare Krishna and hearing, and the mind becomes peaceful or sober, subdued, then they could manage, even if there's some kind of run around or some activity, some physical stress, they could manage, it balances out because your soul is satisfied and mind is peaceful because you have invested some energy in feeding your soul and pacifying your mind. So when there's less chanting or no chanting or rush through the chanting but lot of run around, then what would the naturally outcome would be? Stress and strength. There's nothing else, only stress and strength. There's nothing to give you relief, or there's no relaxation. The stress and strength is part, and the mode of passion is governing your lives or activities. When you are very ambitious and very greedy, you want to acquire so much wealth, this position, that position, then people really put themselves through a lot of stress. As soon as you are Hare Krishna or Krishna conscious person, then you will not be aspiring to acquire, will not be greedy. We say there's a need is okay, but not the greed. And Mahatma Gandhi also used to give this advice. You have some basic needs, you have right to fulfill your basic needs of housing or clothing and fooding, food, lodging, basic needs. But as soon as you want to go for greed, need is taken care of. But you want to enter the realm of the greed, then you are forced to lead a stressful life. There's lots of competition in this day and age. Lots of competition, lots of competition. Lots of clashes of interest and... So what could you expect? So anyway, we are not giving a whole seminar on this topic, but so the question was, so there's so much stress, then I cannot chant. So we had brought this up earlier also. First you chant. And then think of the work. Not that you work or think of work first and then we'll see about the chanting, if I chant at all or how much I chant. Now first you chant. First you take care of your soul, take care of yourself, and then know yourself, know thyself. Love thy Lord with all thy heart, with all thy strength. Then I think you should be able to avoid this stress, strain, being under pressure. And so that, because you will be under different mode, not passionate, but you'll be in goodness, governed by goodness, motivated by the lifestyle that is in mode of goodness, then you'll be out of this strain business. Yeah, I think we'll move on. That makes sense? So not that I will work and then chant. We are proposing first chant, then I think work, as we were saying also earlier, that if you have chanted your rounds, then you sit and make the day's plan, day's activities. You will have a better planning. But if you are planning during chanting or planning before chanting, then it may not work as good. So chant first and let other things follow. There will be less passion and... next, huh?
Where it's mentioned about service first and then samadhi.
Service is also samadhi. Well, that is said because when the tendency is observed in the devotees of trying to avoid the service and they want to hide behind their chanting, hide behind, I have to chant 16 rounds, Prabhu. every time the temple come out, I had to chant Prabhu, I had to read Prabhu, I had to... Yeah, when I was a new bhakta, I also had this. I preferred being in the temple, singing, or chanting. And my president tried to push me out. I would be more inclined to hang around the temple. And so he gave me the name called Samadhi Das. He says. Even Prabhupada gave me a name, Loknath Das. My president gave me the name, Samadhi Das. That was Giriraj Maharaj. He was also Das at that time, Giriraj Das. So, so that's why they say, work now, Samadhi later. Work now, service now, Samadhi later. But the work that we are supposed to be doing is also samadhi, because Krishna said yudhyacha. What is that? Yeah, tasma sarveshi kale. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. You do yuddha, but I want to see you battling. But how? Mam anusmara. While you are remembering me, you battle. So that is samadhi, in fact. Not that you do only samadhi, or only do smaran, or not just, and no battle, or just do the battle and no smaran. So Lord says, combine the two. Mam anusmara yudhya cha. Cha means and, this and that. You do both together. Then that kind of work is worship, that kind of work is samadhi. Okay. Mechanical chanting. So what is mechanical chanting? Yeah, I mean the body is also like a machine. Yantra rudhani mayaya. And mechanical chanting, the body is chanting, or the mouth is chanting. But something is missing, something is not there. What is not there? That is why it is called mechanical chanting. Huh? Feelings are not there. Or we could say heart is not there. Emotions or sincerity is not there. It's a mechanical. So that mechanical, so we did talk, that's why we said that, or Prabhupada said, the chanting, what kind of chanting? Chanting like a baby. So that's not mechanical. Child's crying is not mechanical. It's emotional. His feelings are involved. He's fully into it. Not that his mind is elsewhere, and he's just crying. No. Baby is in fact thinking of mother. Thinking of where is he? Why is he not coming? Where is he? So it's a whole body, mind, soul involvement in chanting. So it's, but if there's only then there's a lip service. Sometimes they call it lip service. Not genuine, not sincere. So the mechanical chanting will not work. When Draupadi chanted, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda," what was that? Was that mechanical? No. That was very sincere, from the core, deep within the core of the heart. The cry was originating from deep within the heart, or cry of the soul. And how did Lord respond to that call? What happened next? Draupadi said, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda," and what happened? Krishna was right there. कौन कहता है भगवान आते ही नहीं? Because Draupadi जैसे पुकारते ही नहीं. Because they are not calling out the way Draupadi called out for Krishna. That's why he's not coming. So anytime, every time, anybody, anywhere, everywhere, if their call is like that of Draupadi, Lord must respond, reciprocate in a similar manner as he reciprocated to Draupadi's call. Lord is not partial. It doesn't come only when Draupadi calls out. But Draupadi like call. That quality call or appeal. Then Lord makes his appearance. So mechanical chanting will not do. So how to get genuine, sincere? We discussed that earlier also. Realizing what kind of situation we are in. And we need help. We really need help. We call out. Or Draupadi, when she finally realized that I have no other help. My only shelter is Krishna now. My husbands are helpless, and Dushyasana was pretty strong fellow, Dushyasana, and he's with his almighties trying to disrobe Draupadi. Draupadi had tried to, first she was holding on with both the hands and trying to help herself or defend herself. Then she had idea of one hand, she was still holding with one hand, with the other hand, she was trying to call out. Did Lord come when that, with one hand, he was calling out? No. But when she did Sarva Dharman, she abandoned everything. She realized there was nothing else really competent to help. Then she just, with full surrender, so that's what Sukadeva Goswami also said in Srimad Bhagavatam that Deha Patya Kalatra Adishuf. Asat Saineshu Asat Swabi. That our body, and then we surround ourselves with the army, says Sainya. What kind of Sainya? Our Kalatra, our wife. What's happening with the sound? Just me or yeah, some yeah, so the wife Kalatra and Adishu, Deha Apatya, children, the neighbors, the friends and this and that. He says we surround ourselves with this army, but he said this army is asat, fallible. This army is not going to help you, not very reliable. And Draupadi experienced that. But somehow we have so much faith in all these resources around us. Oh, I have bank book. Oh, I have insurance. Oh, I have family. Oh, I have this. I have family doctor. I have this. So we rely upon this, and we never feel ourselves in a helpless condition. We think we are. Our act is together. Why do I need to cry like a baby or cry out like a Draupadi? But with little contemplation going deeper, would realize how in deep troubled waters we are. So we should be chanting, not mechanically, is not going to help. Has to be emotionally, devotionally, and spiritually chanting. Yeah, then? Urge of speaking, I think we covered that. Huh? We covered that. Was your point? Okay, so then, obstinate mind. Who else sometimes behaves obstinately? Obstinate. Insisting, no, I must have, no, I want this, I want this. Who does this? Children do this, for sure. And some elders also. Very obstinate. You push them aside. They'll come back again. Or dog, you do hut, huh? Turns around and then he's back again at your door. You hit him. You signal, go away, and he'll turn around a little bit, and again he's obstinate. So this description of mind being obstinate is coming from the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So yeah, mind is obstinate, like that dog or children or some people, they just insist, they want it, they just cannot change, cannot, there's no reasoning, logic they would listen to. So because we had been pampering, this word, pamper, the mind, is allowing mind to do your own business. Okay, do as you feel. You want this? Okay. You want to go there? Okay. You want to eat this? Okay. Okay, 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 okay. So mind has developed bad habits, bad tendencies, because was never told to do something against the wishes of the mind. We never checked that mind. And now we are trying to tame that mind and turn, so that mind turns around, follows your command, the commands of the intelligence. Because this is good, intelligence has determined, this is good for this soul or for myself. But because of the bad habits for not just this lifetime, but many, many lifetimes, especially this ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha, eating, sleeping, sex, defense, this has happened. In every lifetime this happens. It doesn't have, whether human form, this form, that form, these animal propensities are there and they're carried over in this human form. And for first time that we are now trying to act like a human being, at least, you know, we have taken to Krishna consciousness. Those who have not taken to Krishna consciousness, they have not even become human beings as of yet. They have. Because according to definition, that dharmaina hina pashubhir samana. Dharmahin, devoid of religiosity, Krishna consciousness, you are no better than animals, the shastras say. But now we are trying to become human beings, civilized human beings, and practice dharma. Then comes the mind control and telling mind what to do, what not to do. And because the mind was never checked before, and with all the habits, he wants to just do his own thing. And yeah, so that's the obstinate mind. And why is it obstinate? We were just briefly explaining that. So we had to change the mind, which can be done. Mind doesn't have its own philosophy, or mind can just, mind is sometimes into this, mind is sometimes into that, mind is sometimes into that. Mind is like a child. You know, child looked at some interesting object, and you know, at the end of the room, and child was going to catch hold of that doll or that interesting object, but on the way something else comes up. He's ready to just play with that, give up that idea. So, you break the watch, so, hey, lollipop, there's something for you to eat. So child can give up, he's not into watch. He'll go for the sweets. Okay, so dolls for you, this for you, so a children walk through the marketplace, you know, mommy, 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 mommy. His mind is all over. Whatever he looks at, he's immediately attracted and wants to have it. Mommy is dragging with child, his mind is there. Then she has to trick him. No, no, no. Look here, look there, look here. And then he runs there. He forgot what he was just into a minute ago. So mind is like that. Mind doesn't have its own likes and dislikes. But of course, over the period he's into this, so he gets kind of attached. But that could be changed. Mind could be changed. Mind can go along, but it would require a lot of training, a lot of insistence from this intelligence, his higher authority, some beating and this and that, the shoes and brooms that we're talking. And it can change. It has changed. Yet Murugari the hunter, he was into killing animals and birds, half killing. And he was into meat eating and whatnot. But how will I survive? I have my family for a long time. It's a tradition, family tradition. Narada Muni said, nothing doing. And he showed also, Narada Muni showed him that your future, if you did this, you will be this bird, you will be this animal in the next 10,000 years after. Okay. Scene open after 10,000 years. And it was very scary that, anyway, I will not tell the whole. Okay, then another. 100,000 years from now, you will be like this. Oh, really? Then this Murugari came running. Every time, no, please help me. Get me out. This future of me. So what could I do? Chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Take Tulsi, near Tulsi you chant. And he chanted and he was a different person altogether. It was the effect of chanting. He chanted and chanted and chanted. Then another time Guru Maharaj, Narada Muni was in the area and he saw that Guru Maharaj has landed. He was a spaceman flying over that space, that region. Oh, I initiated one disciple, let me check out how he's doing. And although he had seen Guru Maharaj standing at some distance, but this Murugari was taking a little extra time to reach that short distance, because he was bowing down and he was clearing something, he was going this way, zigzag. Finally he was with Guru Maharaj. Hey! Why did you not come running to me? When you saw me, you should have crushed. But I'm waiting here for 15 minutes now. And you are bowing down, you're clearing path, you're going this way, you're going that way. What is the matter with you? What? And Murugari explained, I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. But what could I do? There were ants on the way. So many ants everywhere, so I had to clear them out of the way, otherwise I would have crushed or killed them. Ants. Guru Maharaj was, well done, well done. Shabbas. So one time this animal killer, wholesale animal killer, now is not ready to kill even an ant. What happened? He chanted Hare Krishna. And his whole mind set up changed, values changed. His obstinate mind, which was insisting, I must do this. But then he took to the chanting and all those bad habits, same thing with Jagai Madai, same thing with Valmiki, prior to whatever he was before he becomes Valmiki, the compiler of Ramayana. And you all know, we all have changed. What we were like in our previous ashram or before, coming to Krishna consciousness, and what we are now, there's a world of difference. And if we are changed so much, more change is also possible. Our minds have, mindset is changed, or our mind is not as obstinate as it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. So it's working. It's working. So we have to just be on the job of working closely with the mind, making our intelligence very sharp, sharp intelligence, a sharp razor, and detecting any deviation and distractions of the mind, and rectifying, get mind to come around on the right path, right habits. Yeah, so that's the obstinate mind. So mind is changeable, can be changed. From being obstinate to being obedient, this is possible. We just have to work on the mind. And fearful mind, uncertainties. And we are, first of all, this world is, nature of this world is being, uncertainty is the nature of this world. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. And this world is also known for place being full of anxiety, kunt. That other world is vaikunt, and this is kunt. Vai means freedom, kunt means anxiety. Free from anxiety, that world up there, spiritual sky. Or that world also descends here, and the life of Krishna consciousness also becomes free from anxiety. So not practicing Krishna consciousness enough. Then there is anxiety, there is a fear. There is also fear thinking, who would protect me? If we know we have been guarded and protected, then there is no fear. Some ministers, you know, they have guards around them, then they feel protected. But sometimes one of those guards, they get the minister. So you never know. So if the living entity gains the confidence that Krishna is my protector, Krishna protects, Krishna will protect. Avashya rakshive Krishna. Or rakhe Krishna mare ke, mare Krishna rakhe ke. If Krishna protects, who is going to harm me or kill me? But if Krishna wants to kill me, then who would help me, save me? So devotee has that confidence. So as one practices Krishna consciousness, then he relies on Krishna for the protection, for the shelter, for security. And with that he becomes more and more free from fear and anxiety, and so chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, we feel okay, we want security, so we get closer to Krishna. And that's why chant, and the chanting brings us closer to Krishna. And we develop that confidence. Same thing, Bhajavuri Mana, Sri Nanda Nandana, Abhaya Sharana Aravindare. O mind, please, let me worship, or you worship along with me. You cooperate with my worship of Abhaya Charana Aravinda, the Lord Nanda Nandan. He is Nanda Nandan, he is son of Nanda Maharaj. And by worshipping him, I would attain the fearlessness. So like that, so I think but strategies to get rid of these obstacles. So we have been handling this as we went through the list of these obstacles. We had listed 18 of them, and then resources we also think resources are our intelligence, our mind, our body, our devotee association, philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and whatnot. Books are the basis, preaching is the essence. Utility is a principle, and purity is a force. This is also Prabhupada gave us these four principles. So we utilize sources at our disposal, human resources, other resources, and timeline. We have lifetime, one lifetime, but we should work on today and now, and not postpone thinking, oh, I have a lifetime. Prabhupada said lifetime, one lifetime. So I think at the very beginning we touched upon this timeline idea. So take chanting, japa seriously. When? Now. Kal kare so, or aaj kare so, ab. Okay, so I think quickly we could you bring this read through or something. Yeah, this is called this is analogy of the arrow. This is I think this in seventh canto there's a verse, and that verse describes, well, there are latter part of the verse talks of okay, first of all, when there's a shooting bow an arrow is used, and what else is involved? Target. Very good. So bow, arrow, and target. So this verse of Bhagavatam says that the the mantra that we chant, there it said pranava mantra, which is very foundational mantra. This mantra also in Shastra, Hare Krishna mantra, is also listed, printed as Om Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Iti Shodashakam Nam Nam Kali Kalmashana. I didn't say the other part. I said only half. Okay. Other part is also there. Because I started in the middle. And I didn't start in the middle, but I started at the beginning according to the Om Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So this Bhagavatam verse says, this mantra, pay attention to this, this mantra is like a bow. Okay. Mantra is like a bow. The living entity is like an arrow. Okay, got it? The bow is what? Mantra. Mantra is a bow. Living entity is an arrow. And the target is Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna or Krishna's lotus feet. Because we don't want to hurt Krishna. But our arrow is like a, maybe our head. So we straight, we throw our heads in the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. So earlier also we're talking of bow and arrow and Dronacharya and his students. And what are you seeing? A sky. Oh, the forest, the tree. So here we have bow and arrow, but if it is not, the target is not Krishna, then could we expect, if it's not even targeted at him, not focused at him, it could go anywhere it could go. Like Arjuna was also expressing that. My body is trembling. My body is trembling and my throat is drying up. Gandivam sansrate hastat. The Gandhi bow is slipping out of my hand. Look, I'm trembling. How could I fight? His mind is all over. He's fearful. He's trembling. Mouth drying up. The dhanush, Gandhi was slipping out of his hands. Could anyone, Arjuna or anybody, could be shooting and in that state of existence, mind, and hit the target? Not possible. So this act of the mantra and the arrow, the living entity and the target, this all has to be carefully handled and make sure you're focused on the target. So Maharaj has developed this Well, it's a long presentation, but it's just just one tiny part. So he says, "Now, are you there? You can write ARROW vertical. Oh, no, you could have left some distance. Well, you don't have much space in any case." She says, A for alignment. A for alignment. R, first R for relationship. Second R is for rendering service. O is for opening heart, opening the heart. And W is for welcome the divine gift. And then he expands this, each of these terms further, and it's too long for you to write, and you don't have. But others could maybe listen and maybe take a mental notes or may quickly write down. The alignment is a tune body, mind, heart to achieve full presence and attention. Like alignment in the vehicle also, there's alignment. Unless the wheels are aligned, or chassis, they call chassis there. If it's not aligned, then you may be doing steering, but one wheel is going this way, one wheel is going that way, one wheel is wobbling, and you know. So everything in the vehicle, the alignment is very important. Whole body, the wheels, axle, chassis, everything has to be called alignment. So we could easily say it, not the alignment to be achieved during the chanting, not just during chanting, but our day, if not whole life, is aligned in such a fashion, such a manner, so that the target is always maintained. Krishna, the target. And that bow and arrow, and then the body and the mind and the mantra chanting and the, you know, whole lifestyle is all aligned or made favorable, so that the arrow, living entity, hits the target. During chanting, and your chanting quality is going to depend on rest of the lifestyle, the previous day's activities or activities after chanting, they should be part of the alignment, or they are going to be either help you or not help you during chanting. If they are aligned properly, then it's going to be useful during chanting also. So alignment of the whole lifestyle, whole day, and then the chanting time. So there is alignment. The relationship, he writes, enter the awareness of your eternal relationship with Radha and Krishna. Enter the awareness of your eternal relationship with Radha and Krishna. So this is what we said yesterday that we'll talk about body or circumstances, situation, then about the mind. So those two parts we have done, and then we said we'll talk about the soul. So we had been talking about the soul here and there. Souls. So here is relationship, the entering the awareness of your eternal relationship with Radha and Krishna. Infuse your practice with this connection. Infuse your practice with this connection, this your connection or your relationship with the Lord. All practices are infused. Okay, we move on. Rendering service. So, offer your chanting in the spirit of loving service. Offer your chanting in spirit of loving service. So chanting is also service, is loving service. So in that spirit you chant as a making offering or dedicating your chanting as a service to Radha and Krishna. Share the glories of the holy names with others. Rendering service. It's like you're rendering service to other devotees, other living entities that way. Sharing the glories of the holy names with others. Then the fourth O, opening the heart. Cultivate the kirtan bhav. Cultivate the kirtan bhav of separation and longing experienced by Gaura Chandra. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of separation, his longing experienced. So as we went through Sikshastak yesterday, this was expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahinami. So bring in that spirit, that bhav, and the chanting. Fill your chanting with genuine devotional feelings. We have kind of thrown some light on that earlier. Fill your chanting with genuine devotional feelings. And finally, W stands here for welcome the divine gift. Live in Sharanagati, surrender, the mood of Sharanagati or surrender. Enter the receiver mood and patiently await your gift from Naam Prabhu. Enter the receiver mood. Means you're going to get some reward, some reciprocation from the Lord. Receiver mood. Enter the receiver mood and patiently await your gift from the Naam Prabhu, from the holy name or Naam Prabhu, who is Lord Himself. So that is and the same thing has been further elaborated and like that. Okay, so I think If there's any further discussion or comments or questions. The Shastras do say the mantras, mantra siddhi, the perfection of chanting, fructifies by the mercy of one who gives, finally gives you the mantra and well, there is some key, because it's confidential and all the treasure is not unlocked and presented before the and revealed unto the chanter till it is authorized and stamp of approval, the formalized. Formalities and the official connection. So initiation has its role to play. But mantra is such a potent that it acts. Like we say, those Muslims who end up saying Haram Kaur, Haram Kaur, they are benefited. Lord is very kind. So he doesn't hear the her part, Haram. He only hears Ram. So this is kindness of the Lord. But he has also kindly arranged the parampara and disciplic succession, and that arrangement is there for us to accept.
Guru Maharaj, for the lovely answer that you gave.
Okay. Yeah. You want to go next?
And he thinks that, oh, now I am advanced. Now I am a devotee. Now I have love for Krishna. So can you please comment and maybe also give some advice on how one, although one, I'm not talking about myself, although one may be making advancement, how to always remain humble?
Yeah, I mean, if someone has made advancement and is experiencing those rare moments when he cherished some elevation in Krishna consciousness or some blissful times, genuine bliss, blissful experience was there, and feeling the close proximity of the Lord, or some liking for the Lord. So I think that's certainly good fortune and something to be proud of. But cannot be used as a the false pride. Well, I mean, it can be presented differently, but I would. Now, first we pray to the Lord for advancement. Please help. Please, Lord, I want to advance. I want to advance. Okay, then you are blessed. Who blessed you? Who helped you to become advanced? Lord did, or spiritual master did, or... And then if we forget who helped us, and if we just take the credit, oh, I'm advanced. I mean, you are advanced because, you know, Lord helped you. So give credit to the Lord. Thank God, or thank others also for the progress, advancement that you have made. So, yes, the advancement is welcome. It's a matter of pride, but why false pride? And, well, keeping in mind that we have made advancement, or occasionally we feel blissful, but a lot of times we don't feel, or we have made advancement, but still long way to go. This also could be a very humbling experience, a long way to go. Certainly I have come some distance from the time I started my journey on this path, but it's a long way to go. So that should keep you the perspective, not just be delighted or, you know, jump with some progress, fine, but so much more miles to go before we sleep. This is the word that one poet, a Western poet, said. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, he said. Miles to go before we sleep. Miles to go before we sleep. And sleep here, he was referring to death. Long, there's so much to be achieved before I die. There's so much to do before I die. So I better not get distracted or attracted to this lovely, deep, dark woods or the forest of enjoyment. So, one should feel encouraged that some progress has been made, but not so much is to be achieved also. Long way to go, so stay humble. Something like that. We had already those four first before these ones are cropping up.
In the Japan retreat in November in Varsana, regarding the crying of a child, he said that, you know, whenever a child cries, the mother, she knows what kind of cry it is. So sometimes the child is crying, the mother will come and give her the rubber nipple, the nook, put that in the mouth of the child, and the child will stop crying. So then if the child rejects that nook and keeps on crying, then the mother will come and take the child in her arms. So our situation also is just like that. So when we cry in front of Krishna, he knows what type of crying it is. So he'll just give us the nook in terms of some material benefits or whatever. And then if we stop crying, then he'll attend to other things. So if we keep on crying, even after getting those material whatever gifts or whatever he gives, then only Krishna will come and embrace us. So we have to chant very sincerely, we have to cry very sincerely. Hare Krishna.
There's someone here.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Maharaj, basically I have two requests. So One is from my side, and the second request is from the sides of many, many devotees. The first request is regarding the analogy of the bow and the arrow. In your book, Guru Maharaj, My Prabhupada, you had used an analogy of bow and arrow there also, regarding the different sampradayas and how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you could just briefly give us some clarification on that. And the second request, Guru Maharaj, is that we have been waiting for your arrivals since so many years, we should say, and we have been following His Holiness through different websites. So there's a humble request, Guru Maharaj, if you could please take us to Vrindavan Dham by Kirtan Harisundar Ananda Kumar. Hari Bol. Hari Bol.
You're not in Vrindavan right now.
But you're missing the cows, Guru Maharaj.
We'll see about that. Yeah, regarding the other bow and arrow analogy or illustration that I have written in my book, My Prabhupada. In fact, it is one of the offerings, Srila Prabhupada's centennial 1996 offering, Prabhupada Vyas Puja offering. It's quite technical thing. I don't fully remember now, but I think the idea was that the different parts of that bow are different sampradayas, Vaishnava sampradayas, Sri sampradaya, and Rudra sampradaya, Kumar sampradaya, and Nimbark. Did I say it right? Kumar, Sri, Rudra, and okay. So they are different parts of the bow, and the arrow is, this is Gaudiya Vaishnavism or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the target, of course, I think is Krishna. So something like that. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a little explanation that he took two qualities from each of the four sampradayas, some good qualities, two from Madhva, two from Ramanuja, two from Vishnu Swami, and two from Nimbark. So they are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and he made a good mix and made his own sampradaya or Gaudiya sampradaya. Of course, there are some additional features that you don't find anywhere else in our sampradaya, or the Radha Krishna and on Golok. When they embark, some of them are into this Golok and Radha Krishna, but Ramanujacharya talks of Lakshmi Narayan, and when Madhvacharya talks of only Krishna and not Radha and gopis. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is presenting the topmost realm, Goloka Eva Nivasati Akhilatma Bhuta, Radha, Krishna, and or Mahamantra also. Others have other mantras, but our mantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is Radha Krishna Jugal Mantra. That's why our target also becomes Vrindavan. Each mantra brings you to a respective loka or destination. So the chanters of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, their destination is Golok, where Radha Krishna reside and Radha Krishna pray him. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took some two qualities from each sampradaya, and then he has his own dimension, and so that's arrow and bow and arrow, so it's like that. And who else was there? Well, that's not right. Let's see. There's some point we could. I don't have the words right now. I mean the. But we'll see. Okay, so what is the time? We have a few more minutes. A Krishna conscious person is what? Mode of material nature. Is beyond, okay. A Krishna conscious person is beyond the modes of material nature. So what? That's right. So I don't, You could comment, one of you could comment. Yeah, naistrai gunya bhava arjuna. Krishna said, Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Naistraigunya Bhava Arjuna. Even Vedas, you'll find some sections of Vedas are some ignorance, Traigunya, three gunas, some passion. Even Puranas are some sattvic, some rajasic, some. Tamasik Puranas. So Krishna said to Arjuna, Naistrai Gunya Bhava Arjuna. But you become Naistrai Gunya, means transcendental to all these three modes of material nature. So the Gita, Bhagavad, Chaitanya, Charitamrita is transcendental. But there are some scriptures, you'll find Karmakand section of the Vedas, which Gaudiya say is a pot of poison. We don't know this. A lot of the karma kandi pandits and brahm, they are busy with their karma kand, and this is considered dharma. But Gaudiyas have concluded that's a pot of poison, karma kand. Jnanakand, Kevala Vishera Bhand, because there's Tamagun, Rajagun. So Naistrai Gunya, so Krishna conscious person is transcendental. He deals also with the transcendental. Amala Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam, Pramanam Amalam, Prema Pamartho Mahan. While chanting the holy name, the devotees very often struggle with the anarthas of indifference and distraction. What differences do the scriptures and acharya suggest in order to overcome these two serious obstacles? Well, I think we have been talking distractions. Asat Trishna, I think you'll have to. The Harinam Chintamani of Bhaktivinoda Thakur deals with these subject matters in depth. Trishna, your desire for falsity or and the sleep. Sleep is a distraction. We dealt with some ways. And like that. Indifference. Indifference is what? Indifference meaning? How do we? Which is this? Indifference means disinterested or not. You don't care. Yeah, so. No, we care. I mean, with the intelligence, we come to conclusion whether we should be caring, whether this is good, bad, useful, useless, favorable, unfavorable, and accordingly we deal with it. Okay, I think. All right, so it's 5 o'clock, and
one last question. Very often when we chant, so many things come in our minds, and sometimes you are chanting and thinking what we will do during the day.
I think you are not here during the day.
Yes, Maharaj. And
we had been talking about this all day. So
it will be on the website, so Prabhu can get access on that. This all the recording, they are on the website.
We discussed in length. We were.
And another point is that what I want to know, like. Sometimes we think of our service, I have to do this service, or to meet some member, or evening I have a program.
Yeah, same thing, comes. Same thing you are saying. Yeah, not during the chanting, we said. Yeah. Chant while chanting, yeah. And plan while planning. Yeah. So, or chant first and then do. You'll do better planning. Plan next assignment is planning the day or future.
Guru Maharaj, it's a whole lot of thanks to you for the discourse and the retreat course that you have given. But it's a humble request that in future we would like to have a longer retreat session.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.